his life. But it's still bad news for me to see this, isn't it? We are cared for by the greatest caregiver ever, Almighty God. He's a gracious, merciful, and loving God. Yes, I know a little about these things. And it's a little about the mission. Probably a more important question is what does it mean to learn new things? To learn is more than placing information in our memory banks. Consider when we hear or learn these truths from God's Word, what do we do with it? Do we just put it in these memory archives and carry it with us? What does that say about the teacher of those truths, who is God, the Holy Spirit? I know some say we have 2 ears, 1 ear, and 1 heart. Ought not to be so for God. This morning we're going to talk about some serious things. It's always serious in the Word of God. First, I would like you to turn to the book of James. At the back of the New Testament, Hebrews and then James, chapter 1, you will recognize the verses. Excuse me. I want to read James 1, verses 19 to 25. Listen carefully, or follow along. Your Bible or on your whatever you use to follow it. Verse 19, James 1. Know this, my beloved brothers, sisters, believers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That's what you did this week, right? That's what God said. And if not, why not? For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness. And run wickedness. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, that is the word of God, a mirror, the law of liberty, he perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If any of you don't believe him, just listen. If any of you look in a mirror this morning, looking to see if it is. Well, I got your attention. When you look in the mirror, did you correct what needed to be corrected? Or did you think, well, that's not important? Nobody looks at my hair, do anything. Says, do what he says, and do not just hear it. Don't place it in your memory banks only. You need to practice what I've given. took a wrong turn off a very busy road, and came into an area that was new to me. Turned too soon because of some construction and other things. And so the first thing I thought was, as soon as I could see a place away from the median, so I could make a U-turn and get back where I was supposed to be going, I came to the first corner and guess what was there? No U-turn. So I have a choice. Follow some of the culture or follow God? Do what's wrong or do what's right? So we have this next point. Guess what? The sign was not there. So I made the U-turn and I started back and my phone rang. I don't like to talk on my phone when I'm driving. But because I'm still on this non-busy road, I could pull over and I could talk. And it's a very important call for me. I was pleased that God gave me that extra block to turn around. Otherwise, I'd be much better than I couldn't answer it. So how does God want it? God doesn't waste things. Abram accepted the culture's way instead of God's way to have a child. Went through the right procedures of the culture, but still to have a child by another, by his servant, his wife's servant, becoming his wife, it was acceptable, and not to God. If you follow through the scriptures, you find out about God's idea of marriage, and he did not go in that direction, even though the culture accepted. There are a lot of things that culture accepts today, but God does not. We need to be careful to balance what he says and what we do. Abram needed to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Now, he only had a little bit. He did not have what we have. We have the whole Old and New Testament. We have no excuse. So how long does it take for us to believe and obey God's word? Do we choose to forget it? To reject it? To detour around it? Or to lie to ourselves? Deceive ourselves? We don't need a lot of help for that because the Bible says, my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the next verse talks about the Father. God the Father, the only one who really knows my heart. So I believe that what we have here is an answer to the question that I've entitled this. By the way, this is John. You're going to hear that. First thought I have is that God puts Abram on a refocused direction. He's going to refocus him. Verse 1, back in Genesis chapter 17. Don't forget what he said in Genesis. Abram was 99 years old. So far, not in the end. I have no intention of making him any longer. Will be by God's grace. Now, at 99, Abram should be very mature with life experience, right? Learn a lot from living. You learn a lot from people who have lived more than you have, because you don't know that. We need to be reminded that when people become older, they don't necessarily become the wisest, but they in fact have a lot of wisdom just from living. When I was in Calgary, pastoring at the church, we had a seniors complex, and all the windows looked at, most of them looked at the church. We called it the Land of a Thousand Eyes. They knew everything that went on, but if I opened it from room to room and so on, I could learn so much just from their life experience. Don't give up on older people. They have much to teach. than 13 years since he listened to Sarah, took Hagar as a wife, and Ishmael was born. A.W. Pink says, Abram turned aside from the path of faith and resorted to the devices of the flesh to obtain a son. That was his opinion. I can't agree with it. Then another 13 years passed in silence. After she was born, it seems like there was silence. God did not speak. Abram needed time to grow and to learn. In Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 23, it says, he did not, Abram, did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why this faith was counted to him as righteousness. Abram needed to know that he and Sarah were powerless to have a child. Things I find in the Christian life, but it is so essential to God being able to teach me that what I see in the mirror of the Word of God, I need to take the time to make the adjustments in me, not in them. Their bodies were as good as dead, reproductively. How many people do you hear about having a baby? Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for me, for my power is the perfect in weakness. A.W. Pink says, I told him again, not until man comes to the end of himself will God put forth his power. And it says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, this is 13 years later, remember, God hasn't spoken to Abram for 13 years. Now he speaks. All sufficient one. That sounds like a reproof. Abram, you made an alternative direction. You took a detour. Pay attention. I am God Almighty. I am the one who is fully able to do all that I promised. I am Creator. I am all gracious. I am all powerful. I am all sufficient. Trust me to do what I promised. But I have another phrase for that. But it's my way and my power. Those are the hard parts that you will use. Why trust God to do what He's going to do, but we do not like it when it's His way and His time? We want it now. We live in a world of now. Violence, our dislike. We have everything instant. In fact, all we have to do is on your phone, just you can drive and get your stuff because it's already ready to drop the order. You don't even need to wait. God says, wait. There's 100 times in Scripture, wait. Very important lesson to learn. We have to trust Him, we have to do it His way, and we have to do it in His time. God says, I am God. for me. Think about what he said. Walk before me. You are always in my vision. You're always, I know exactly where you are as you walk before me. You're never on your own. You are never alone. You're walking before me. Get off the path, do your own thing. You're not walking before me. Don't just walk before me and be blameless. Or in other translations, be perfect. As he is perfect. Be careful to adhere to my ways and my instructions. Walk before me upright. Sincerely. I love that word, sincerely. Sincerely. When you think about it, maybe you've heard the definition of how it was translated, not without wax. To be sincere is to be without wax. It's when they made these pottery things, and as they put them through the heat, often they would be cracked. It's so they put wax and cover all the cracks so you couldn't tell if, in fact, it was cracked. Unless you looked at it up to the sun and you could see every crack. That's what God does. He holds it up against the sun, his sun, and he sees the cracks. And he forgives you because of your shedding. We need to know that we've got cracks, that we're not perfect. We need to be blameless before him and walk as carefully as we can to be a person of integrity. Verse 2, that I may make my elect go down. All that is happening to me, are you serious? Just hang on. That I may make my covenant between me and you and multiply you greatly. Abram, nothing has changed. I will give you exactly what I said. You will have an heir from Sarah. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, it was time to worship for Abram. It was time to do something else. That often we find difficult, be quiet and listen in submission. Abram did the same thing. He was now before God Almighty in a new mindset, in a refocused attitude. Sometimes we fail, even when we're praying, to stop long enough to let God by His Spirit expose us to something in His Word that we just read. We're so busy sharing all of the things that we need to share with God. We need to stop and let God minister to us through His Word. And that's also part of praying. In fact, He may be teaching us, as it says in Timothy. He may even be improving us. He might even want to correct us. If we listen, or train us in righteousness. That's what the scriptures are for. Verse 4, behold, my covenant is with you. I have already promised you these things. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. Nothing has changed. No longer shall your name be called Abram. I'm changing it to Abraham. Which means father of a multitude or a multitude of nations. Can you imagine Abram going back and talking to people, family, whatever? I have a new name now, it's Abraham. Of course, they all know the meaning. The chaplain. There's nothing to be a father. It's another thing to be a father of all the nations. What are you thinking? That's not possible. You know, you're 99 years old. It's nothing for God. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. to nations, including kings, and I will establish my covenant between you and you and your offspring throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. Verse 7 continues to be God to you. What if he didn't listen to God? I will establish my covenant and paradise to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And you will follow Jehovah only. His offspring were going to know about following the Lord God as the God who alone is God. Who was going to teach them? Probably God, the father of the multitude of nations. God, it's not Father's Day yet. That responsibility falls on us to teach our kids the things that are important to God and that should be important to them. They say, and I will give to you and to your offspring after you, I will keep my promise. I called you to this land. Abraham, who's in charge of your life? Sometimes we get a little distracted and don't pay attention that God is still in charge. Verses 9 to 14, God refocuses us. Verse 9, you shall keep my covenant. This will not change. You must obey. Verses 10 to 13. You know, we live in a culture that there are no absolutes. We don't have to obey if we don't want to. God doesn't question whether or not we should obey him as his children. It's a fact. We are to obey. Verses 10 to 13. The sign of the covenant is circumcision. Every male among you must be circumcised. Every male who is not, verse 14, who is not circumcised will be cut off from his people. Let me read from the New Testament. Paul's teaching about circumcision is not made of hands. The circumcision that was talked about in verses 9 through 14 was that which was made with hands. Now, in the New Testament, in Colossians 2, Paul says, in Christ, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh. Having received the complete work of Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, Philippians 3, 2 and 3, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh, who put their faith and trust in the law, keeping the law. For we are the real circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, behold, the new has come. Ephesians 4, 22-24. Turn off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created in the likeness of Christ, in true righteousness and holiness. which probably is talking about the world, the flesh, and the devil. The things that are contrary to God and his people and to his kingdom. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. These desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do, from doing the things that you saw in the mirror of the Word of God. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. I don't know if you've seen the amount of occult sorcery, etc., on television for children. You can pay attention. I said, enmity, did someone come to your mind? You have to deal with that. Strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? That the fruit of the Spirit, the things that God wants to see in us, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy and peace within and with others. Patience, that waiting part. Kindness, in fact, that patience even goes to the place of suffering wrong under attack. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. What happened to Jesus when he was crucified? He died. If we crucify the flesh, it is to die in us, not live in us. Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. To gratify is to please, to satisfy, to indulge, to delight. We have a choice. Please, indulge, delight, satisfy the desires of the flesh. Or do we gratify, please, indulge, delight, satisfy the desires of the Holy Spirit? That's our choice continues, day in and day out. Which one sits us to the top? It's our call. Do you look into the Word of God as a mirror? Do you see the surface coming up with the fruit of the Spirit or the things that need to be put aside, put to death? You can't have both. We have to live as God desires us to live. Same question. So who's in charge of
of their life. That helps to resolve the issue when you look in the mirror. And finally, the third point, this is 15 to 27, God refocuses Abraham and his family. Their name will be called Sarah. Understand, both mean princess. But just think about it, a new name, a new opportunity, a new beginning, a renewed promise. Verse 16, I will bless her, God says, and I will give a son by her. No alternative, my neighbor. It's my plan, my way. I am God Almighty. She shall become nations. Hebrews 11, verse 11 says, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. The prophet Isaiah wrote in 51 verse 2, look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, speaking to Israel. For he was but one when I called him. That is it. That I might bless him and multiply him. Verse 17, Abraham fell on his face. They don't see many people falling before the Lord in conviction of sin, of concern to be right with him. It just doesn't seem to happen. There are lots of things to express things. We don't necessarily fall in humility before our God. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, our age. Now I would like to think that he laughed to himself because it's sort of an interesting laugh. I'll give him a plus on this. But I think his laugh inside was that he finally realized that God was going to follow through and that God was going to do this. And he was not necessarily questioning God, but he was recognizing, we cannot do this. We are too old. Our bodies will not perform this way anymore. Other than if God does a miracle. So it's more of a surprise. Because the next thing he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Well, why would he say that? If in fact his laugh was not against what God said, but more of the light of possibilities that only if God does a miracle. But as a father, he loved Ishmael. As a father, he wanted the best for his son. It wasn't Ishmael's fault where he came from. So don't hold it against him. But God did talk about Ishmael, and that he would be difficult, and so on, as you walk on through the scriptures. And God said, Sarah, your wife. Do you notice that is in there? Sarah, your wife. Not your servant that became your wife, but Sarah, she will bring to you a son this time next year, and you will call him Isaac. Not just it's going to happen, it will be next year, and you will give him this name. There will be joy and rejoicing. It means laughter. There is going to be a happy time. Imagine, all these years she's been barren, now God is going to bless her with a child. All that God looked before other people was going to be blessed. I have blessed Israel, and I will make him a great nation. I've already given birth to Abraham. You need
to pay attention to seven. Verses 22 to 27. When God finished talking with him, he went up from Abraham. God didn't tell him to talk to Abraham, just to spend his words. He gave him instruction, but when he was done, he left him to trust and obey, to believe God and knowledge when he went. God delivered him. He obeyed God. Three verses. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? If you're a child of God, whom you have from God, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I ask you the same question. Great God. While we sing,